the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town.
Getting back to school, I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer, I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, and he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took...
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
When you think that you can take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
If you wanna have a go, I
just wanna let you know. Yeah, get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way and out of my frame. Get out of my face. Get your face shot.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Boy, I'm liking this new time. I don't know about you guys, but it's not new, but you know what I mean. Welcome to The Shooting Bench, 15th of May, and I hope I didn't lose everybody by moving to a different time here, but it just was not working the way it was. So I've tried for 8 years to bounce back and forth when the time changed, so for the next 8 years, we're going to let you guys bounce back and forth a little bit. So we're going to stay at 9 o'clock Arizona time for the foreseeable future, and I think that this is going to allow us to do a live Liberty Lounge this coming Friday. So I'll check the calendar and see what else I have going on, but I'm thinking that that may be a happening thing. So let me see. I'm sure I lost some of the people out on the East Coast. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking. Thank you, Tebow. Minnie's hanging in there, and Nan's hanging in there. And Mother Earth's logged on, but I don't think she's listening. And Mountain Shooter and Tebow and DeTinker and Anonymous there. So I expected to lose a few going this late. But the I'm also going to make sure that the podcast is up. I'm going to make every effort to make sure that it's up same night as the show. So, excuse me, for those of you that are not able to stay up this late, you know, podcast will be available by the time you get up in the morning, hopefully. Won't promise, but that's what I'm trying to do. Thank you, DeTinker. Let's see. JNN coming through the 64K. All right, let me check and see what is going on with the 64K deal here. Stand by just a second. Okay, I figured it out already. All right. That should have done it. Let me make sure that the recording thing is working right. Stand by just a minute. Okay. Looks okay. Let me, DeTinker, you probably got a little bit of delay there. So let me know if that works out all right. Yeah, Tebow, I knew you'd be there. You've got nothing to do but go swimming tomorrow and go to rallies downtown, which you do very well. So we could all learn from what Tebow does out there. Before we get started on some other stuff, I'd like to share with you, let me find it here. I changed screens real quick. What the heck, I just had it. There it is. We lost another member of the Code Talkers on the, well, the story came out on the 11th. It was probably a day or two before that. But his name was Fleming Begay Sr., 97 years old. And I'll tell you what, I have nothing but the absolute utmost admiration for the Code Talkers. Not only did they have a very difficult job, they put up with a lot of racism, a lot of harassment and stuff in their barracks and you know out in the field and whatnot. But there was something in this story. I think it. Hold on just a second here. Stand by. All right, let's try this again. I think it was in this story, and let me double check here. No, it wasn't in this story. This is something I got offline. But I found a story that I wish I'd have saved it. It confirmed what I said, I don't know, probably on him several different times when he was talking about the code talker, talking about the Native Americans, the Indians in general, about how patriotic they were. You can drive out across the reservation here, across the Navajo reservation, or I guess that's really the only one I can speak with any authority on because I've driven across it so many times. But, you know, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, stuff like that, you'll find there's little cemeteries out in the middle of nowhere out there in the reservation. You'll be driving down the road and look to the, out the window, and out there would be a little cemetery. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and a few other holidays, you see numerous American flags on a lot of those graves. And they are patriotic. They have a, and I've said this before, and I just was lucky enough to find something to confirm it the other day. It's not, their patriotism is, I think, a little bit different than ours. Where we, you know, rally around the flag, and there's an ideal here of getting our freedom from England and the fights and the 3% and blah 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 and the whole nine yards. But that's not the same with the Indians. I wish I could remember how they worded this, but it had something to do with protecting Mother Earth. It had nothing to do with the fight for freedom that we recognize, you know, in 1775 and the Revolutionary War and everything. That doesn't mean much to them. In general, I mean, there are some, yeah. But they're literally fighting for their land, for Mother Earth. And I'm gonna look and see if I can find that again. It was... unfortunately, I didn't save it here. But I'll see if I can find that and get the quote that I found. But anyhow, for whatever the reason, they have jumped into, you know, every war that was available to them. And we've heard the song about, Tebow, help me out here. What's the one that... Ira Hayes, Drunken Ira Hayes. And he was from, I believe he was from the Navajo Reservation or the Hopi or somewhere here in Arizona. And anyway, there's quite a few songs, quite a few stories about the Indians, the Native Americans, and their involvement with different wars and whatnot. Okay, let's see. I don't know if Doc's going to be with us or not. There was something I wanted to talk about rifles here a little bit. But there's going to be a little bit of dead air here. I need to go to a, let me get it all pulled up and ready here. I want to go to a sound bite here, and I have to pull it directly off of the, off of the internet because I didn't have time. Amy come and reminded me of it just about the time that I started, so I didn't have time to save that. But let's see here. Somebody just peed my post toasties here on Facebook Messenger, so let me bring this up again. Alright, stand by a minute. I don't want to spoil what this is about by having any commentary previous to this, but I will have some afterwards, rest assured. So, okay, I found it. Here we go. Alright, stay with me just a minute, and we're going to have to, damn it, stop it. This thing ticks me off. Let me pull this up here, and I will, sorry for all the stuttering and stammering and carrying on here, but this is going to be, a lot of you may have already seen this on Facebook and whatnot, but we're going to play it anyway. It's about just a little over 2 minutes long, so let me go in here and shut this down, a little bit of dead air, and I'll be back.
Nation under Democrat demolition. Did you know they have removed God? The majority party in the House of Representatives has deleted God from as many official congressional proceedings as possible, including swearing in witnesses.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief? Great. Thank you. Let the record show the witness.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I think we left out the phrase, so help me God.
We did.
Could we have the witnesses do it again for the record?
Yeah, they want to do it, but some of them don't want to do it. And I don't think it's necessary, and I don't like to assert my will over other people.
Well, it goes back to our...
Some final thoughts now. One nation under Democrat demolition. Did you know they have removed God? The majority party in the House of Representatives has deleted God from as many official congressional proceedings as possible, including swearing in witnesses.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief? Great. Thank you. Let the record show the witness.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I think we left out the phrase, so help me God.
We did.
Could we have the witnesses do it again for the record?
Yeah, they want to do it, but some of them don't want to do it. And I don't think it's necessary, and I don't like to assert my will over other people.
Well, it goes back to our founding history. It's been part of our tradition for more than two centuries, and I don't know that we should abandon it now. Could I ask the witnesses if they would choose to use the phrase?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Nadler.
If any witness objects, he should not be asked to identify himself. We do not have religious tests for office or for anything else, and we should let it go with that.
That is the face of Resident Evil, Jerry Nadler. Get used to it. It will be Nadler who leads the effort to impeach President Trump. So God is gone now. Poof, no more God in the people's house. This is not about a religious test. This is about the founding of this republic. We are a country built on a core belief in God and Judeo-Christian values. Thus, the Declaration of Independence is now under de facto assault by this crew. One nation under God, divisible by a radical political party that seeks to attack liberty and justice for all.
Want to see more videos like this?
All right, sorry for the confusion. Let me turn this down just a little bit. Okay, hopefully that sounds okay now. There's a couple of settings I got to change on my computer when I do this stuff like that. But I could not even believe this. I listened to it, and I was completely dumbstruck. I mean, I just couldn't believe that this had happened since the Democrats had taken over. And I've sent it to numerous people. I played it for Amy, and I just am completely astounded that this has been allowed to happen. We've got to get our Congress back. There's going to be a lot of things to fix before the next election. By the time we get Republicans back in there, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that all the Republicans are all that damn much better than a lot of the Democrats, but they are, regardless of what anybody says, they are some better. There are some values and some things, I think, that are well entrenched in the Republican Party that the Democrat just doesn't exist in the other side. So we need to get that changed, and we need to get it changed as soon as possible. Once again, I think that they are, it seems like they're anxious for a civil war. It seems like they're pushing, and I've said this before, they're pushing and pushing and pushing until somebody snaps. And when that happens, it's going to be Katie bar the door. There will be, there won't be any turning back. It'll be a terrible thing, but the ultimate results probably will be worth the sacrifices. So, anyway. All right, let's see what all we got for stories here. Let me go check the chat room and see if there's anybody still listening here. All right, looks like we still got some. Let's see. We now have the second school district in the United States that is pushing Islam, pushing Sharia law. There's been a cease and desist order, a letter from a legal team to a school district in Washington State that has promoted Islam through Ramadan, that during this time provides special privileges for Muslim students. Now, this probably wouldn't be quite as big a deal if they afforded special privileges to Christian students during Christmas, around Easter time and things like that. But no, we have, just like they've removed God from Congress, from the House, we've removed God from many things in schools. Now, I have had this argument before with people. It is not nationwide that this has happened. It is nationwide that it has happened to some degree, I guess, but it hasn't completely been removed from every school district in the country. It's not like it's a federal law or anything, but they have it's been implemented, I guess, in some degree, pretty much everywhere. In public schools, a lot of private schools don't subscribe to that, and I'm happy with that. So, let's see here. The speaking of schools, for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you can go look and see my niece out in Nevada sent a picture to me and said, "Hey, let me bring that up and read it to you." But it's a picture that she took a long time ago when I was in still at the store in Farmington, and it was a picture of my, what would I guess be my, is it a grandniece? Amy, what is that? Kennedy. What's her relation? Grandniece. So I get, once it gets away from the first line there, I get confused pretty easily. But, okay, there's a picture of her sitting on the counter in my store. All kinds of guns behind her. There's, like, you know, 30 guns that you can see, 25 guns that you can see behind her. And you can kind of see me in the background there rearranging some magazines on a display. And she said that she's not a baby anymore. She's, she's 10 years old now. Said she needed a baby picture for leaving elementary school this year. And she sent this, put it on my Facebook page and said, "Is this one okay?" And I said, "Well, hell yeah, it's perfect. You bet. I love it." So she says, she said, "I think it is too. I think her school wouldn't allow this. This is one of my all-time favorite pictures of you guys." And I said, "No, but you're going to try, right? You're going to take it to school?" She said, "Absolutely." And I said, let me know how it turns out. And Amy just said that they may not let her graduate. And I'll tell you what, you need to know this niece of mine. She is not to be trifled with. I can promise you. I think of two men that she's whooped, and one of them pretty relentlessly. And she got in some trouble with it when she lived in another place in Nevada. She is not to be messed with. And if they don't let this little girl graduate because of this picture, I'll guarantee you there will be hell to pay. But anyway, she said, "Thanks, Uncle, for helping me stir the pot." She is a pot stirrer. She stirs the pot well. She takes after her uncle for sure. And a lot of comments about the picture. Everybody's good with it. So we're going to see how this turns out. She sent to school, and we'll find out. All right, let's move on here to bigger and better things. if there is such a thing. I guess what got us started on this thing was the cease and desist letter they got for the second school that is promoting Sharia or Islam during school periods and school time. And they said the district must restore the rights of non-Muslim students of faith to be treated equally under the law. Well, that's right. If you're going to do this for one, you have to do it for all. So, no, I'm not for showing any favors. If you're going to take away all the Christian stuff, you can't bring the Muslims in. You just can't. It doesn't work that way. So, remember Bruce Lee? Ever watch Bruce Lee play ping pong with nunchucks? Look on YouTube and look that up. He is squared off against two men at a ping pong table, and he's using, I think the proper term is nunchaku or whatever, nunchaku, and nunchucks is what everybody calls them. And he wins. He's good. Well, back during all this when it was happening, there was a number of states that outlawed nunchucks, and Arizona was one of them. How retarded is that? And if you read the law carefully, if they enforce this to the letter, your little girl is about to be a felon because it would include jump rope. The way it was worded, it said, excuse me, just hold on. The way it was worded, it said, let's see if I can find the exact word. Anyway, it said something about a piece of rope with two handles on it of some kind. It was very, very loosely worded. And so it could very well include a jump rope or anything else. Maybe some kind of a, I don't know what else it would be. But anyway, this is whether you agree with it or not. It is another feather in the Second Amendment's cap here, because that was a weapon that was banned. They're not talking about just firearms. It may seem pretty mundane right now for us. But I think that it's leading up to, you know, bigger and better things. And I think there's, I'm not sure how many states there are left, but this, all of these bans, this was all this kung fu stuff was going on. It was a big deal back in the 70s. And somebody saw it on TV and said, we can't be allowing those things around here. We need to make a law. And I've heard that in, where was it, New Zealand or Australia or I think Australia, somewhere over there, that they made an attempt or did outlaw pump shotguns for a short period of time because they did this, you know, this may or may not be, it was in Queensland, Australia, it may not be fact, but the story has it that in 1996 they banned pump shotguns because a legislator saw one being used on a Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. So the television makes a huge impact on people as they make decisions, whether it's in or look at how many Trans Ams were sold after Smokey and the Bandit. Look how many, you would not even believe how many Model 27 Smiths were sold after the Dirty Harry movies come out. Desert Eagles after Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. This has gone on for a number of things, cars, trucks, guns, tools of different kinds, kitchen utensils, appliances. The TV has a vast, far-reaching effect on the consumer. And this just goes to prove.
I'll be back.
Stand by there. Evidently, I hit the wrong button. I did something wrong here. Why did I do something wrong? I wasn't supposed to do anything wrong. Well, we may go without a break here. I'm sure you all won't mind that. Well, I'm going to try it one more time and see what happens here. Stand by.
I'll be back.
I know you loved him a long time ago, and even now in my arms, you still want him, I know. But darling, this time that your memories die, when you hold me tonight, don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go, and you'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight. Don't close your maybe I've been a fool, holding on all this time, lying here in your arms, knowing he's in your mind. But I keep hoping someday that you'll see the light. Let it be here tonight. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go, and you'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight, and don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes, let it darling, just once, let yesterday go. You'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight, and don't close your eyes. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight, and don't close your
welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
There we come.
Okay, we're back. Hopefully, if I pushed all the right buttons here. One thing I neglected to let you know on that last story. Yeah, they really did ban the nunchucks in Arizona, but just recently, like yesterday or day before, sometime here in the last few days. Oh no, it was on the 10th that it was signed. That law was repealed here in Arizona. Governor Ducey signed it on the 10th of May this year. So, anyway, we're going to back up to Washington again here. I wish Yakima Glock was with us to, I guess there's some type of a form that you have to complete now as of July 1st. It's required. It has to be designed, and I'm assuming that this is, I guess it's real. They said you have to have some I-1639 training. You have to have a certificate. That's required after July 1st. Now, the way I read this, there's not a standard. There's things you have to teach, but they haven't given a government-approved certificate. I guess you just kind of make up whatever just to verify that you've taken this training. So in the Sporting Systems of Vancouver, Sporting Systems is the name of a store in Vancouver, Washington, has rolled out their special, unique I-1639 training certificate. And when you first look at it, I almost didn't read it because I said, okay, fine, it's a certificate. I don't agree, but here it is anyway. Certificate of completion. I need to quit talking faster than I can think, or faster than my lips work anyway. This certificate is awarded to whoever for successfully completing Washington I-1639 compliance training with course topics covering basic firearm safety rules, firearms and children, secure gun storage, safe handling of firearms, Washington and federal firearms laws, and how to vote out anti-gun legislators. This is what makes me think. I think the first five there were probably what mandated by the state. I think the bottom one was probably added by Sporting Systems, be my guess. Under penalty of perjury, I attest and certify that I completed this ridiculous training course requirement as required by the five billionaires that purchased my civil rights and the 60% of the voters that were duped into voting for school safety, quote unquote, and the revised code of Washington. Signature and a date, course format and certification provided by Sporting Systems. Certified firearms instructor, blah, 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 records maintained by Sporting Systems Corporation, Vancouver, Washington. So there you have it. We've got people are, we've said this several times over the last few months, people are beginning to fight back a little bit. We're starting to see more more belligerence here, I guess, towards some of these laws. And I like it. I like this thing a lot. Now this was on Facebook that is, by the way, Longslide sent this to me. You guys remember Longslide? He's not able to show up very often, but he does from time to time, and it's always good to see him show up here. But somebody says, who in their right mind would even comply? Simply buy outside of Washington privately. You know, this could be a problem for people that choose to do that. And this is the same as getting a receipt for a private sale. Somebody said, well, you know, we don't need to bother with that private sale. I don't care. You know, I know you gave me the money, and I know I'm giving you the gun, so here you go. Or you're trading guns. Yeah, I'll take this gun. You give me that one. Who needs a receipt? Well, you both need a receipt. Because a couple of reasons. If we trade guns and you stole yours and sold it to me, and I get caught with that serial number, I have no way to prove that it came from you. If the one that I sold you is stolen from you and used in a crime, it's going to come back to me because I was the original owner. So it's not that I don't trust you, and I know you trust me. But if something else happens outside of this transaction right now, either one or both of us could go to jail. Now, you don't have to turn the receipt in to anybody. You don't have to show it to anyone unless something comes up that is going to jeopardize your freedom. Then you need to have some way to prove where it went. Does that make sense to you? So if this person is saying if you, you know, buy your gun outside of Washington, that may or may not work. If you buy a handgun, I'm not sure what the rifle laws are, long gun laws are in Washington or in any of the connecting states there. But federally, if you buy a handgun outside of Washington and bring it back, then you have committed a federal felony, and so did the person you bought it from if they had any idea that that was what was happening. So, yeah, you'll get along with it fine until at some point you go through a routine traffic stop and you're wearing it because you've been out to the woods and you forgot to take it off, or they search the trunk or whatever the case may be, and it turns up maybe it's a domestic violence thing. Maybe it was stolen from you and it turns up somewhere or whatever. It's going to be a problem. So, number one, always get a receipt. Number two, it's inadvisable. I understand this person's sentiment here, and I know exactly what they're saying. But you could very easily wind up in the federal penitentiary for this. So I strongly advise that you think long and hard before you actually do this. Let's see. All right, where are we at? Here is... I don't have too much to say about this story. I just wanted to throw it in here because this woman was belligerent and rude and talking ugly to everybody and being mean. And this guy, 74-year-old man stood up to her and said, hey, you know, can we knock it off a little bit? Can you treat these people a little nicer? And she went off on the old man, shoved him out of the bus. The video showed that she shoved him hard enough that he didn't even touch the steps on the way out. And he died shortly after at the hospital from blunt force trauma to his chest and torso and everything here. And she has been arrested. I don't know what the charges are. Murder. She was charged with murder. And I guess this 25-year-old woman has ruined her life because of her temper. This happened last month. The story just came out today. But... anyway, he'd ask her to be nicer, and she shoved the guy out and killed him. There's probably better ways to resolve some of our differences than to be that belligerent and that physical. All right, let me see if I can hit another one or two here before we have to get out of here. That is the wrong page. Let me see here. Maybe not. What do you want to do? Oh. Here's a story for you. This woman, and boy, she is rough. Obviously a meth head. From the looks of her face and everything. Wow. Woo. That would be something scary to walk into in a dark alley somewhere. But this is in Ohio. She walked into a house and pets the dog, sits down on the sofa, that washes the dishes in the house, and leaves. Well, she's been charged with burglary, but if she gets out, I hope she comes by here. What's wrong with washing the dishes? She was charged with burglary. Said she went in the home, petted the dog, washed the dishes. And the owners, I'm not sure how they... Let's see. Said they received a call that a woman matching her description was knocking on doors in the area. They arrived and contacted this woman. Said she appeared under the influence of drug, gave him a false name, and said she'd been up for 2 days. Taken to jail and charged with burglary. All righty then. Well, stranger things have happened, I guess, just not around here. Now, this story right here, we've talked about, we were trying to think earlier today, there's been at least two other stories, I think three, that we've talked about this same kind of thing happening. This happened in Nebraska. This man, and that's with a capital M here, this man, got his leg caught in a grain hopper, or he's planting corn or something out there, and couldn't get it out. He was out there all by himself, didn't have his cell phone. Cell phone was in the truck or something. And he had to saw his leg off with his pocket knife to get free from this thing. He crawled 150 feet to a phone and probably to his truck and was flown to a hospital. Said he never lost consciousness. Son, I'm here to tell you, if you saw your leg off with your pocket knife and never lose consciousness, you're a man. I can tell you that's... probably not a whole lot of people out there can say that. He said through the whole time, he fixed his leg and everything else. He flew him to the hospital, never did lose consciousness. So a couple of stories here. I mean, a couple of lessons. Number one, there's some things that you probably shouldn't do alone. I've been out to the woods, you know, before and sawed firewood and stuff, but I prefer not to. Even if I just bring, you know, a kid with me to watch, the kid sits far enough safe distance away or whatever. If anything were to happen, I am exceedingly experienced in big chainsaws, fallen trees. I've worked in the woods, you know, in logging industry, and I've cut cedar rails and split rails and all this stuff, but you know, a just like with guns, the slightest little inattentive moment where you let the tip of your saw hit something, or chain flies off, or whatever the case is. These modern saws have safeties on them where if the chain comes off and stuff, that it generally kicks it out of gear. But you know, anything could happen. So, you know, in the first place, you shouldn't be doing stuff like this on your own. In the second place, why was your phone in the truck? It's not, I see that you can't hear it anymore over the tractor. It may not be of any use to you. I get that. I perfectly understand. But what if you need to use it? What if there's an emergency and you're not able to, you know, radio or a phone or something so that you can get a hold of somebody? Chances are pretty good that if he would have had his phone in his pocket when this happened, that he might could have got a hold of that. If he could have just held on for, you know, till for 20 minutes till somebody comes from the farmhouse or till the helicopter comes in, you know, from the hospital, whatever the case is, he may not have lost that leg. Instead, he sawed it off with his pocket knife, just below the knee. He had to cut it off with his pocket knife. Now, lesson number two: if you choose to go and do stuff like this and not have any way to communicate, have a pocket knife. Didn't we just talk about this a month or so ago, 2 months ago maybe, about the importance of having at least one knife on you? I choose to carry three. One of those is my Leatherman. And my Leatherman is a very aggressive, very sharp little saw. And if I were forced to have to do something like that, if I could stay conscious, I've got the tools to do it. And maybe he used a Leatherman, he doesn't say, but yeah, everyday carry, that's right, mountain shooter, that's exactly right. The three knives that I carry are three very different, very specific and unique purposes. One knife cannot fill all of these purposes. So, you know, that's what I do. You can do whatever you want, but if you have to cut your leg off, make sure you've got something you can do it with. Now, would he have laid there and bled to death without a pocket knife? Would he have laid there and bled to death because he couldn't contact anywhere else, anyone else, and didn't have the pocket knife? So, I mean, he's alive. I'm sure he's not all that happy with the way it turned out, but he is alive.
Good for you, Nan. I'm glad to see you carry a knife, too. But, with any luck, Nan, don't you carry the cobalt knife from Lowe's? Yep, that's what we use. That is awesome. Did I ever tell you how much I like that knife? Yeah, I like it a lot. You may not know this, those of you that have investigated that little knife. If you pop the razor blade out of that, that takes a total of four different blades that you can put in there. And two of them are uniquely suited for rescue operations and other tools. So look into the other blades that you can put in that knife. All right, let's see. All right, I think we're pretty well done with all of that. Cobalt, yeah, with a K. Yeah. And have you, Nan, if you've used that knife at all, have you got any, you got anything to say about it yet, or you just carry it around, haven't had the opportunity to put it to work yet, or what do you think about it? We need to get everybody on the chat room here owning one of those knives. I use mine extensively. I have no idea how many times a day I use that knife. But I love it. All right, let's double check. I haven't got time now to do this rifle thing, and I wanted Doc to be here for that anyway. But if you'll remember, there was a, what was it, what was the name of that, like Mad Minute or something like that, where they took these four rifles and was comparing them to accuracy and length of time that it took to fire a given number of shots. Hang on a minute here. There we go. So that was the Swedish K-31, the 98K Mauser, an Enfield, and a Garand. So, pretty interesting test, actually. They're a little challenge. Now, the guy that shot this, that did it probably would have been more complete if they would have had, five people do it from different backgrounds and stuff. They had one guy that had very, very little experience. And so it was a decent test. I mean, it was okay. I liked it. So how much time do we have? We got 5 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and go through this. Doc just going to have to catch the podcast. He was here a little earlier, but he must have, that's late for us old guys out there in the East Coast. Okay, here's the deal. They shot in 1 minute. That was the allotted amount of time for each rifle. Now, there was one rifle that had, some malfunction or I think it was more of an operator error than anything else. But they had 1 minute to shoot. They want to see how many shots they could get off in 1 minute, how many accurate shots they could get off in 1 minute. So they
Let's see if this works. Yes, it did. Okay. The they had the number of shots, how long it took to reload. If you had to reload it more than once, then all that time was added together for reloading. And the deal was just to put all the shots on target. There was not a group size here. So with the Swedish K-31, the guy fired 12 shots. Average splits, 3.85 seconds. So it basically took him to work the bolt and aim and fire. Took him 3.85 seconds. Total reloading time for those 12 shots was 20.12 seconds. With the 98K Mauser, 14 shots in a minute, 4.04 seconds for splits, 9.5 seconds for reload. Now, this obviously for, you know, Mountain Shooter and me and Doc and Tebow and DeTinker and some of them out there, we've got some experience with these guns. 4 seconds or 9 seconds is an awfully long time for a reload. But if you've never done this before, this was his very first time. He didn't have a warm-up. Those little stripper clips and little clips for some of these guns, magazines or whatever, are it's not, what's the word for it, intuitive. It's not it's not something you just wake up in the morning knowing. So that's why the reloads are so long. The Enfield, again, 14 shots, 3.45 second splits, and 10.2 second reloads. The Grand, more shots, 24 shots, 1.69 second splits, and 11.13 seconds reloading. Now, 24 shots, he had to reload. I had to reload twice. He had one in the gun when he started. Had to reload two more times. And so the Grand is easy to do if you know how to do it. Awfully dangerous to the thumbs if you don't know how to do it. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little test anyway. It was fun. You can look up, I think it's Mad Minute, if you want to look that up on YouTube and check it out. Okay, let me check the chat room here real fast. I've had all the fun I can stand. Nan has given her little review here. She said she loves the knife, cut rope, sharpened pencil, little stuff so far. Hadn't had to cut off any arms or legs yet, so that's a good thing. So, I'm not even going to go into how much I love that knife again. But I do. All right, fun's over. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to make every possible humanly effort to do a live Liberty Lounge day after tomorrow. So stand by. I will sometime tomorrow night or sometime during the day Friday, I will verify this and confirm that that's going to happen. Otherwise, it won't. But I'm going to try. So good night, and I will see you all hopefully Friday.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over number.